We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
You are listening to Snacky Tunes. I am one half your host, DJ Never Forget, coming over and sliding in the chairs, Terry Diabolic.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Beautiful Monday.
Beautiful weekend.
Beautiful weekend.
Finally. Hopefully it'll stay here. Well,
Who was that?
Robin, why don't you tell us?
Robin is here from Triangle Records.
Yes.
And 20 Jazz Funk Greats. Why don't you tell us who that was?
Who I am?
No, who that was that I was just playing.
That was one of the groups that's actually coming out on my label soon. It's a guy called O. It's like a small O, big O, small O, two big O's. And that was his song Hearts, which is coming out within 2 months or so.
Awesome. We are going to talk to Robin a little bit later about Triangle Records coming to America, the blog,
yes.
Hats. Bands that get blown up way
but
too fast.
First, we are very happy to be joined by Daniel Krieger, freelance food photographer. He has shot. If you are up to date on the New York food scene, you have seen his pictures. Everything from the New York Times to Edible, Manhattan's, Queens, Brooklyn. Do they do Staten Island?
They don't do Staten Island yet, but it's probably not far behind. They're covering pretty much everywhere.
And then Gawker. Eater.
Not so much Gawker. Eater. I'm sorry. Head photographer for Eater.
Yeah. Eater and what have you. Do you do anything for Grub Street?
No, I'm sure I've had a photo on there once or twice, but I've done some stuff for Tasting Table. I shoot nycgo.com, which is like the tourism board for New York City. Shoot for them.
So food photography now is one of the, probably the biggest growing trends, but you do it at in a very exceptional level, more than most people.
Thank you.
And how did you get your start in restaurant and food photography?
My first actual shoots were for Brooklyn Paper. I had met, just randomly met Gersh Kuntzman, who's the editor, at a like a rooftop party, and we just started talking, and he's just like, it was funny, I remember what he said to me. He goes, you can start shooting for me, but eventually you're going to find something bigger and better and leave us. And I was like, at the time, I was like, oh no. I was like, oh, I'd love to shoot for you. And then, of course, eventually once I, you know, moved up to into different publications, I stopped shooting there. But I was shooting like some local Brooklyn restaurants for the Brooklyn Paper. And then I just kept getting more and more gigs and just kind of trying to get into like bigger publications.
Who was your first restaurant? Who did you shoot for first? Who was the first chef to let you into their doors and shoot their food?
Lodge restaurant.
Oh, I've spent many a Sundays at that, Lodge.
That was one of the first shoots I kind of really remember, because it was I forget his name, but the owner, he was really cool, and I shot there. I think it was like the vegetarian bacon lettuce tomato they had. It was a pretty cool sandwich.
Like the UNLT or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that. I shot a bunch of restaurants that, like, Patois, not around anymore, that was on Smith Street in Brooklyn.
Right.
That was one of the first ones. And I shot Habana Outpost, actually, was one of my first shoots for Brooklyn Paper when it first opened.
I remember that. That shoot.
And Sean Meehan, he's a cool guy. I don't know if you guys know him. But, and then once I started shooting for Eater, I just moved into other publications. I mean, Eater's not so much food photography. It's more just interiors, but we do a few different features that are fun, like gatekeepers. I don't know how often you guys read Eater, but
every day.
I
check
the right answer.
I honestly check it 3 or 4 times a day.
I do too. It's one of the ones that I read. Also, you know, a Time Out's blog as well. Jordana Rothman, got to give a little
shout out
to her.
She was our guest earlier, and if you guys don't remember, her predictions of 2010 have been coming true almost
have
weekly.
That?
Yeah,
she's on point. She's also my girlfriend. So
she's also a girlfriend. But if you want to listen, it's in our podcast, so you can go back and see how her trends are doing. Yes. And you two are also hosting the Choice Eat Awards tonight.
Oh, well, she's co-hosting. I'm a guest.
A guest of the host.
Yeah, a guest of the host. So yeah, that's pretty exciting for her tonight.
So shooting food these days, like I said, is a growing, I guess, frenzy and trend and things like that. And walking into a restaurant with a camera is not uncommon, but what do I do if I want to get a good shot and not just a low lit, out of focus,
right?
But also something that's not super obtrusive to what's going on in the restaurant.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it is tough because a lot of times I think when people are going, they're going during service. So it's kind of hectic and crazy, and they're shooting in like a dark, you know, most dining rooms in New York City are pretty, you know, dim. So it makes it difficult, especially if you're using like a point and shoot camera. I mean, the best way to, like, when you're starting out to try to get nice food photographs is like I'm pointing outside, which no one can see except for you guys. Mm-hmm. But like when there's a nice shadow and you have like nice natural light, that's the best way you're going to make like food look really, really good. It's very difficult to shoot food like in a dimly lit restaurant handheld, you know, with a handheld camera. So I mean, that's fun and everything, but if you want to like take it seriously and you want to get really nice shots, you kind of have to go to a restaurant or set it up yourself, you know, either with proper lighting equipment or like during the day, you know, using some natural light. Make sure there's ample light is one of like the most important things in you know, separating a crappy photograph from a good photograph.
Right. And but what about the backlash now of shooting? Not because, you know, when you go and shoot, it's like, you know, 3 p.m. on a Monday.
Right.
Service isn't really happening. You can set up and spread out.
And they're expecting me.
And they're
too.
Expecting you. I'm talking about, I mean, I think Granatchez and like a lot of other chefs and last week, Joe Doe was like, leave your cameras at home.
Yeah.
Bring your appetites.
Right.
How do you feel about that? Do you feel that like it's not appropriate to be shooting while you're eating, that disrupts the flow, or that it's just...
natural part of dining now.
I think it's a natural part of so many people want to take photos and want to share it. And I mean, it's cool. I personally like going on Flickr and seeing dishes from restaurants where I haven't been, just to see what the food looks like and to hear the person's kind of opinion. So I like it, but I mean, I guess I can kind of understand, because if you're a chef and you're working really hard and like once in a while, a major like website or publication might pick up a food photograph taken randomly from someone's point and shoot camera and put it online. It looks like crap. And so they're like, oh, that's not how we want our food to be represented. We want, like photographers. So I can kind of understand that, them getting a little pissed off. I mean, if I owned a restaurant, I don't think I would care. I mean, it's more people interacting, talking about your restaurant,
I mean, it's kind of like from like a music point of view. It's like, you don't want your demos released. You want your like final mix and mastered out to the public, because you don't want people to like, well, I mean, imagine what it would be like if it was good lighting or, presented or styled.
Right.
But I think it's a little different, because I think, especially in New York, it's such an interaction between the chef and the customer, and the customer now feels that they have more influence and power in the restaurant than they did a year ago, 2 years ago, things like that. I mean, think about when Co opened up and how many pictures came out of that tasting menu and how many people like clamored to be the first ones to post up really good pictures of it. But does that cut into your business a little? Do you feel like maybe it's cut in, or do you feel like every time you give out a tip, it sort of takes away from what you do?
I mean, I don't think it cuts into my business. And like, if I'm doing a shoot for the Times, it's not like they're going to go onto Flickr and grab a couple photos to run for a story. But, they might for a blog. I've had random photos of mine picked up from the Times just to put on the blog. I mean, they're good quality photos, but it's not like they hired somebody to go do that shoot. The whole the field of photography, it's become very competitive. And it is tough, but I like to say, think that the cream will, rises to the top, and I'm pretty impressed, not sorry.
Yeah, let's say, I feel you would say I'm pretty creamy.
I'm happy with my food photography, and I get good feedback on it, so I'm not really worried.
And then also with your reputation, you have a real dialogue with the chefs. Like, you go in, and when you work with them with their food. How much involvement does the chef have in your pictures of the food they put you on a plate, and then do you further style it, or do you work with them styling their food? Because so much of the food that you shoot is beautiful as is. Do you bring a little extra something to what your picture is?
I try to make the food look pretty much how the chef delivers it to me. If I find that I don't like the way it looks, or maybe it should be plated on a different plate because it's like the plate's too shallow, doesn't really show the food, or the color, like there's no contrast. Sometimes we might switch a plate or just change it up a little bit. But I try to have most of the chefs that I'm working with are, very professional, top of the line chefs. So they're bringing out food to me that looks beautiful and it looks great. And I don't luckily have to do too much to it. And, they know how to plate the stuff to make it look perfect.
Right. I mean, that's their job.
Yeah.
Perfection every time.
Right.
So we are going to take a quick break, play a track from Kid Sister, who we're DJing with tomorrow night. We'll come back, talk to Daniel a bit more about food photography. And then later on the show, Robin from 20 Jazz Funk Greats and Triangle Records. But first, big shout out to TechServe for sponsoring our show today. They're New York premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, serving individual customers, creative professionals, and Fortune 100 companies. TechServe has built a solid reputation on its expertise in technology, sales, and service. As a company that believes in honest and forthright business practices, TechServe is proud to sponsor the Heritage Radio Network and promotion of sustainable lifestyles. To support sustainability in New York City, TechServe is holding an e-waste recycling drive Saturday, April 10th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. For more info, go to www.techserve.com. So your old computers, batteries, stuff that you don't want to throw into landfills, that's where you can go. And we support that as well. Terry, take it away.
So half a shout out is from Mississippi anyway. My name is David Banner, introducing Kid Sister.
Hold the fan, stop right there, and help your granny about a budget. If you want to get gone, say hell yeah, hell yeah. Everybody grab a beer now. If I had 2 pennies every time I heard my uncle say to me, how about them birds? I bet I'd be at least 1,000 nerds. I better have enough to last the whole year.
So,
in the driveway. Can you turn the jump rope the right way? Not the right way. And then they say, it's cool, baby girl, it's cool. Don't trip, cause I really love you. Now go make a play for your Uncle Poopy Doo, and make one for Big Mike too. Cool. Everybody stop what you're doing. No griping, put your boo-hoo. Here's some bee shining, barbecue it. It's about to be a family reunion. Everybody stop what you're doing. No griping, put your boo-hoo. Here's some bee shining, barbecue it. It's about to be a family reunion.
Fried chicken with some macaroni and cheese. I wish all of my days could be just like these. Uncle June from St. Louis, cousin Ray from the Bay. Half of the shine's from Mississippi anyway. Old folks telling lies. Mama Lena is a fool on them hot apple pies. Now they want a cha-cha slide and they want me to rap. I spit a first up with
Don't feel it, don't feel it.
Y'all know they call me David Banner now. They know that I rap family, look at my tie. But that don't mean nothing to us. We all together like blacks on the back of the bus. 10 minutes before Rosa Parks stood up. But now we all getting down. David Banner, Mississippi kids, it's shot time.
Everybody stop what you're doing. No griping, quit your boo-hooing. Some bees shining, barbecuing. It's about to be a family reunion. Everybody stop what you're doing. No griping, quit your boo-hooing. Some bees shining, barbecuing. It's about to be a family reunion. Family reunion, come on, family reunion. Sing my song, family reunion all day long. Everybody, stop what you're doing. No wiping, quit your boo-hooing. Some bee shining, barbecuing. It's about to be your family reunion.
Put your hands in the sky. You gon' do it right. And you came to reunite.
All right. Is that David Guetta and Kid Sister?
David Banner.
David Banner. Sorry, different David. We are playing a free show with Kid Sister tomorrow night at Public Assembly. If you go to jellynyc.com/antennamag, you can RSVP. It's free with free Colt 45.
9 to 12.
9 to 1.
9 to 1? Wow. Call your bosses Wednesday morning.
Time you're going to be
home. Time we're going to be late.
So in studio today, we have Mr. Daniel Krieger, who is...
Hello.
Hi. Oh, thank you. Jump in
one of the up-and-coming and prominent food photographers in the New York area. How national do your photographs get?
It's mostly New York City restaurants that I'm shooting, but Mile End, the new deli in Brooklyn.
Oh yeah, the
Montreal smoked meats. I sold them some photographs, and the owners just told me like they're going to be in 3 in-flight magazines.
Oh, that's awesome!
The countries that
have
I
you
don't
been, have you eaten there yet?
Yes, I have a couple.
Have you
times.
Had smoked meat from Montreal?
I have not, so that's
we
gotta all
go.
I got
we gotta go. We grew up on that stuff.
Oh, really?
Well, we have dual citizenship, so we gotta give you the litmus test.
I think it's pretty good. You know what we had the other weekend as well as the Montreal bagels. I mean, I love.
Have you had Montreal bagels before?
No, that was the first time.
Okay, we'll go. We'll report.
Let's go this week.
Yeah,
how often do you get to eat the food that you photograph?
I make it a, you know, I don't ask for food, definitely, but you
of
know,
course.
Once in a while, if they offer it to me, I might have it. You know, it all depends on the situation. If it's like during service and it's crazy, you know, probably not. But you know, sometimes if I'm there early before like any of the staff is there, yeah, I might taste something. And also, you know, I mean, if a chef like offers to make you something, it's kind of rude to say no thank you.
You just go yes chef.
Yeah,
and
like
tuck in.
I was gonna say Eric Repair at Le Bernardin, I did a shoot for Eater there, and he was just like, oh, would you like to taste something? I was like, I'd never been there before, so I was like, yeah, sure. You know, of course.
Yeah, you gotta play it real cool.
Yeah,
you gotta be like, yeah.
He he set me up. There's like this kind of office area in the kitchen there. He actually set me up like they like laid down like a whole place setting and gave me like a 3-course like tasting menu thing, and it was like awesome. Wow. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
So you've shot a lot of restaurants and you've worked with a lot of chefs. Any stories or experiences that come to mind that stand out in your career?
That was one of my favorite stories, the Eric Repair story. But, you know, I loved watching Paul Liebrandt work, and I did a shoot at Cortone. I've never actually tasted the food there. So, and that's kind of a weird thing. You're like, you're there for like several hours doing a shoot and you see all these dishes, but and just watching him work, you're just like, wow, that is just amazing. He uses like the
tweezers. He makes tweezers that salad, right?
Yeah. The hen. I don't know.
I mean, I've worked for the Food Network, and there are times when it's just, you know, by the time the food that you can eat gets available to eat, you're like, it's been handled and touched, and it's been out for like a couple hours.
No, well, I mean, when I was doing the shoot with him, he was preparing, it was during service, so he was preparing dishes, but it was just really cool watching him just work in the kitchen. It was pretty, he was like, you know, he's like an artist in there.
You shot at Prime Meats, which is one of my favorite restaurants.
Prime Meats, the one thing about that place, so Prime Meats is a restaurant in Brooklyn, I guess Bavarian, like German style.
Yeah, had Dave Colston in here as well, just on the show.
And I've done a couple shoots there. The coolest thing about that place is, well, first of all, it's just beautiful. It's just a great vibe, but the light in there is just amazing. You know that first table when you walk into it, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, that's what, I mean, you know, I'd say that's one of the coolest tables in any restaurant in New York City. It's just, the lighting is just amazing, especially, you know, during the day. You just go in there. It's beautiful.
And that kitchen is beautiful. I mean, that kitchen has tons of light, high ceilings.
Yeah, it's just a very cool place. They have a knack for just kind of creating a restaurant where you walk in, you're like, this is a cool place. You know, it's just got a great vibe. And that pretzel, I love that pretzel.
I do love that pretzel.
Oh, man, so freaking good.
What do you say the vibe is of shooting in restaurants in Brooklyn versus Manhattan? Is there a different vibe? Can you tell a difference?
Yeah, I mean, I would say Brooklyn's a little more laid back in general. In Manhattan, it's just, I feel like there's more to prove. There's more to lose. I think, you know, there's more money involved in those restaurants. You can just kind of feel that. And the staff is just, I think there's more like staff, I feel like, in Manhattan. It's just a little crazier. But, I mean, you know, certain restaurants in Brooklyn have that, you know, the same vibe. But overall, I would say that, yeah.
Any restaurant photography nightmares?
You
don't have to name names, but you can generalize. You can blind item if you like.
There was, I basically got like almost kicked out. It was actually for the Brooklyn paper. Nothing bad has happened in the past couple of years, but one of my first like shoots in a restaurant, I'm not going to say which one it was, and on Smith Street, the chef was the chef was a real prick, and he basically like more or less kicked me out of the restaurant. The problem was, and I guess you don't shoot, like, you shouldn't really be doing like a food shoot during service, but he told me to come in at that time, so I was, you know, and also I was
right.
But we got into like a fight because he was so stressed out because there's more people in the restaurant than he had anticipated, and it was just a big thing, and that was bad. But I'm not gonna say.
Yeah. We'll get off screen. So I guess final tip to upstart photographer, just one catch all, if it could be, you know, beyond light, beyond thing. Like, what is the attitude that you bring into a restaurant when you're shooting food?
I guess you have to work with the chef who's gonna, you know, have a little bit of an ego. Generally, a lot of chefs do, and like, I'll ask them, how do you want it to look? You know, if I'm doing a shoot specifically for the restaurant, like, what style do you like? Do you like simple? Do you want, like, you know, there to be components of the dish around the dish, like, you know, maybe some garlic pieces or whatever. So talk to them and get to know what they like and like what style they're looking for. And as far as, you know, learning how to take good food photographs, I mean, things such as having a good camera, like a DSLR and like a prime lens, is very nice. Shooting with a tripod is important. Learning like your white balance, how to use white balance, and shooting raw. Those are big, important things, I think.
Well, Dan, thank you so much. Website, upcoming shows.
So yeah, my website is danielkrieger.com. That's DanielKrieger.com. And then that's my main website. And /food is if you want to check out my food photography. And I'm giving a shout out to a show. It's like an online Flickr-based show that's happening in L.A. All May, every weekend in May. And it's at the Brewery, which is 2020 North Main Street, Suite 222, and that's in L.A. That'll be every weekend in May.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Stick around. We just got a ton of Roberta's Pizza.
Nice.
Darren's going to play some tracks, and then Robin from Triangle Records and 20 Jazz Funk Greats is going to talk to us about drag and the negativity that has surrounded it, coming to America and, I don't know, setting the record straight. How's that? Does that sound good?
Yeah, kind of.
Sounds all right. big shout out to Jack Enzi and RecTech for making us sound good, to TechServe and Roberta's for feeding us. Take it away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. That was just Leonardis and
Quentin 909.
Yeah, with Heartbreak. And what was the first song you played?
It's Hot, Kamei.
Kamei.
Which I didn't let it get to the really good part, but that's because we're short on time. Because we have Robin.
Hey.
Hey, finally.
I'm trying a record.
Yeah, Robin was originally going to be on this show a while ago, but he couldn't get his visa to get back in here. But now, now you're sorted.
Yeah, I'm good.
And you're American.
Yeah, I'm just loving American life.
Yeah.
Sorted. That was a very English way to say that everything has been fixed.
Everything's been fixed.
I could say bits and bobs. That's a very English thing as well.
What does that mean?
It means like I got my bits and bobs together, you know? Like basically just means I'm sorted.
Oh, okay.
Did you just define that word by using those words?
No, that's like honest British slang, like bits and bobs.
I believe it. So, a little bit of history. I have known about Robin for many years because his blog, 20 Jazz Funk Greats, is one of the grandfathers of music blogs, which we can say. Yeah, now that a hierarchy, now that over the years a hierarchy has kind of shaken out, Gorilla vs. Bear, Stereo Gum, Brooklyn Vegan. Except what sets him apart is that the music that you put is kind of just. I mean, it's. Slash, it's out there. Slash, really ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird.
It's basically. Weird. Yeah, I mean, I can say that.
I have to say that it's not just me. It's me and a couple of really good guys that do the blog. So I just want to say it.
Right. There's a qualify that it's a very. I mean, to cover that much, and digest and to write so well about that much weird music, it takes a few people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not easy trying to find that much weird music every week.
No, but
Well, you can find a lot of weird music, but not all of it's good.
Not all of it, yeah. I mean, you can find a lot of stuff on MySpace, but I'd say 80% of this stuff is not good at all.
80% is a pretty general.
I think I'm being nice.
Yeah, you've been really. How do you differentiate that stuff? Because, you know, growing up, I've seen my fair share of, like, noise bands and, you know, dreamy electropop outfits, and so many people are like, oh, this is, like, art and this is, like, music. But so many of it, I feel, is this total BS.
Yeah.
And how do you train your ear to realize, like, oh, this is really good, and maybe you're just not ready for it?
I mean, usually it's got something to do with the melody. I mean, if, like, you know, for example, if you're making noise music, it's kind of easy to make a lot of noise if you want to. But what kind of separates, you know, good noise bands from bad noise bands is that it's like a melody thing, you know, there's something more musical going on. But it's, I mean, it can also be, you know, we'll find stuff that just sounds completely different to anything else, and it really throws us, like, off course. And we'll write about stuff that we're not even sure we like, but we're like interested because it's so different. So it kind of intrigues us.
And also, I mean, I can say this since I do all like the background music for during the band. After a while, you can just hear what's like weird for the sake of just like trying to be weird, or like what's weird but it's still really good and based in some type of musical area. So what's amazing is that you have taken that talent for searching out weird and new music, and you've now started your own record label.
Yes, Triangle.
Triangle Records.
Which I think we were talking about back in December, where like there were labels who were just reading your website and signing the bands you found, and now you just said, screw that. We're going to sign this band.
Yeah, basically the label came about out of a temper tantrum that I threw. Because, we were discussing that kind of thing. And, you know, I love doing the blog and I love being exposed to so much good new music. But it kind of got to a point where I'd been doing it for so many years, I just wanted to have more input. So I kind of wanted to say to these artists, you know, I love your music, but can I also put this out now?
Right. Which you also see a lot. I mean, Gorilla vs. Bear just did their first release. And a number of other blogs are like... Which kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like you, and you already have a buyership. I don't know. That's a terrible word.
But yeah, I know what you mean by that.
But does that blur the line between you as a commenter on music and then you promoting?
And now I'm doing promotion.
Doing promotion.
Yeah, that's something that I have actually felt a little bit weird about. I'm definitely aware of that. I mean, like, the guy we played a song earlier, we've like championed him on the blog long before I was even discussing with him about being on the label, and then just recently we wrote about him again. But I actually got one of the other guys to do it because it just suddenly felt a little bit uncomfortable. And I think with 20 Just Fun Greats, what I've always noticed people like about the blog is that we've always steered away from self-promotion.
Right.
Like, no one really even knows who we are, what we look like. We're very much like...
I think it was like maybe the second or third time we hung out that you were like, oh, this is what I do. I was like, oh...
Yeah.
I was like, weird that...
Because we just don't promote ourselves as, like, people, you know? So, I mean, suddenly having these artists on my label, writing about them on the blog, even though I love the music, I'm sort of getting used to that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could see your point, Terry, about, like, it being... But I also, like, you know, if other people are going to take your work and put them out, you might as well... I don't know. It's like you already love them, so you might as well help these artists, you know, sustain their art. And
I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, I think if I've been reading a blog for 5 years, and all of a sudden they're like, not only are we promoting this music, but we're making it more accessible, and we're sort of putting our money where our mouth is and saying, like, we're going to even financially back this band.
Yeah.
You know, if you have credibility is credibility. If all of a sudden, like, a website popped up and was just writing about bands, and then also turned out that they were selling those bands, that's a different thing.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
But you guys have a long enough track record where it's like, well, this is just the natural evolution of what we're doing, because digital media and the internet has allowed for us to even have this opportunity to put out these bands.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think for me, I know that people read the blog and they get that it's a very genuine thing. We're doing it purely because we like the music we want to write about. But I think when I'm sort of in this situation now where I have an artist who's on my label that I would usually write about on the blog, I want people to feel, if they do end up on the blog, that it's still genuine and it's not just me sort of trying to peddle records or whatever.
But, and now with the blog though, you've kind of, you know, as opposed to being kind of behind the internet curtain, you've kind of stepped out and made yourself a bit more of a public figure.
A little bit, yeah.
Which is interesting because we were just talking about that your label, more so than anything, has now been associated with the drag movement.
Yes.
Which is something that I think was pretty much like, by the time people were able to pick a label, people were already starting to give backlash.
Yeah, I mean, that word kind of makes me flinch now. I mean, it's kind of my fault because I did an interview with The Guardian, which is like a big British newspaper, and it was basically... The guy wanted to get my opinions on this sound. And, you know, he kind of coined this. Well, you know, the term was coined by Salem, but all these writers have kind of agreed this is what it's going to be called. And I was never that comfortable with it when I did the interview. And I was more just kind of saying, I don't think there is a sound yet because it's something that's still evolving. You know?
Right.
With every new artist that comes out that has this sound, they're bringing something different. So I'm very hesitant to just say this is drag. But now I think since that interview, Triangle's possibly being sort of like boxed in. And I've seen it being called a drag label, and it's not, because, you know, there's so many people on the label that have nothing to do with that sound at all. I think Triangle is a dance label. That's what I would call it. It's just, you know, the dance music.
You know, I mean, I know possibly, you as a dance music. I mean, we listen to like Zarian Third and like all like, you know, gay Chicago house. It's all...
I mean, that's my thing. I'm obsessed with dance music. And I think with Triangle, you know, possibly the dance music that I'm releasing, it's leaning towards the darker, weirder side of things. But, I mean, I'm not really interested in releasing one kind of record, you know.
Right, that would, you know, destroy the label.
Yeah. So
I don't think you can anymore. I think you have to be that diverse.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of the label is it's supposed to also mirror the blog, in the sense that the blog is eclectic and, you know, one day you'll find this kind of, you know, really spacey cosmic disco track, and then the next it'll just be like this horrible, you know, noise. You know, it's supposed to be, you know, an eclectic thing. So I've always wanted the label to mirror that. So kind of being called drag freaked me out a bit.
I mean, drag king is still a pretty funny term.
Yeah.
If it wasn't you though, it'd be kind of funny.
It's a little,
you know, someone wrote that, they're like,
I am so clever.
It was actually someone that was submitting music, and they.
It was what?
There was someone who was submitting music, and they called me the drag king.
Oh, like as a kind of like as a tried to like.
It was like it was supposed to be a flattering thing, but it just horrified me. I couldn't even like bring myself to read the rest of the email.
I can't imagine. So we're gonna play some tunes that you brought.
Yes.
That and this is all coming out on Triangle.
Yeah, this is still Triangle stuff.
So we'll play and then we'll talk about the records and release dates and all that good stuff. So you're listening to Snacky Tunes with Robin from 20 Jazz Funk Greats and Triangle Records on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Snacky Tunes. We have Robin from Triangle Records, 20 Jazz Funk Greats on here. Do you want to tell us who we're just listening to?
Yeah, the first track was by this London two-piece called Noah Hutter. And the Fader actually blogged about that track today, so if you go on the Fader blog, you can download that. The second track was by a guy called Balam Acab, who's this like stupidly young kid. He lives in upstate New York, and he's just making this really weird, hypnotic, you know, haunted bass stuff. And then the last guy was Stalker, who's just making really scary hip-hop, basically, yeah, like intimidating,
terrifying
stuff.
Hip-hop. Yeah. And they, so the producers, they get younger every day, don't they?
Yeah, pretty much. But it's just because it's so easy now to make music. All you need is a laptop and, you know, a program.
I mean, and dude, if you were just sitting at, I mean,
yeah, if I was 16, like how many hours did I spend in my room when I was like in high school? Yeah. If I had like a MIDI and like a tractor
and then, you know, a million Ableton influences to, I mean, you have so many different people to kind of affect you.
That's the thing. There's so much going on. I mean, I got emailed about a month ago by a 14-year-old kid who lives in somewhere like Iowa or something. And he was making this really weird dark electronic music, and it was just like, what, you're 14? Like, you know, I mean, when I was 14, I was
fuck, I was doing it at 14, but it wasn't that.
No,
listening to like NoFX records and going dunno.
I was watching Moesha.
Yeah, going to ska shows, skanking for justice or
ska against racism.
Yeah, skanking for life. So, what is the what's the release schedule for the record label, and how could you get it?
I mean, basically, everyone who's on the label is really new. You know, they've only just started making the music. Some guys have only just started making their stuff like 3-4 months ago. So everyone is just in the process of finishing up the records. The first record should be out within 2 months or so. And I think, yeah, that's pretty much going to be Ooh. And it's going to be a 4-track 12-inch. I'm not going to say too much about it yet, but there's going to be like a few surprises with that. And then Creep, who I haven't spoken about yet, who... you know,
Lauren Flax, yeah. Lauren, who's been on this show like more times than anybody. I love those girls.
Yeah, they're two of my favorites. Yeah, it's Lauren Flax and Lauren Dillard. They're working on their project right now, which is coming together nice. They've got Romy from the XX doing vocals on the tracks.
Nice.
So
amazing.
Yeah, it's sounding good. I mean, I'd play you some now, but it's not finished, and I don't want to.
It would just be like taking a food photo that was not taken by a professional.
Exactly. Yeah. So
boom.
Yeah.
Don't even edit. Wipe that. I just put a bow on this episode.
So
we're gonna play one more. What's the last track we're gonna play?
This is Slava. He's a really good guy. He lives in New York, and he's making this kind of I don't know, it's like this weird mix of UK funky house, you know. He's kinda like a synth wizard. I've been in his room, and he's created all kinds of weird music machines. So this is this is his song Dreaming Tiger, which is going to be out probably this summer.
Awesome. So what are the websites?
The MySpace is myspace.com/triangledreams. And I'm also on Twitter as well, and that's just Twitter/whatever, Triangle Records.
And the blog that started it all?
Oh, and the blog, that's 20justfungreats.co.uk.
Okay, yeah. Rolls right off the tongue. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This is awesome. And thank you for listening to Snacky Tunes. Next week we will have AC Slater on, who our remix for his new track, Take You, just went up on record label. So if you go to record label, you can get our Taya Tay remix that we're very excited about. So, Terry, take it away. Oh, big shout out to TechServe, Roberta's, Jack Inslee, Rec Tech, Daniel Krieger, and we'll see you next week.